You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on solving the procrastination puzzle. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on solving the procrastination puzzle, a concise guide to strategies for change by Timothy Pitchell. As always, we'll kick it off with a quote. If you are reading this, it is probably because you are bothered by procrastination. You may even be reading this because you are procrastinating right now. You are avoiding some other task. I want to make the time you spend off task right now worthwhile. That is the purpose of my writing. An hour from now, you will be prepared to act differently. You will be prepared to be more successful in your goal pursuit. Are you ready to get started? That is one of my most basic strategies. Just get started. In this book, I explain why this works and summarize the research evidence for such a simple, practical strategy. End quote. That is Timothy Pitchell from Solving the Procrastination Puzzle. Timothy is a professor of psychology at Carleton University in Ottawa and is one of the world's leading experts on procrastination. He's been researching and writing about procrastination for 20 years and distills the absolute best ideas in this great little book. It's a fun, practical, super quick read. No excuse to procrastinate on it. If you struggle with procrastination, I think you'll dig it. I've got a link to the book in the note. Of course, you can find it on Amazon or wherever. And you can learn more about his research at procrastination.ca. And you can check out his Psychology Today blog. We've got a link to that as well on procrastination too. So I'm excited to share some of my favorite big ideas. Let's jump straight in. First big idea, what is the puzzle of procrastination? Quote, procrastination is the voluntary delay of an intended action despite the knowledge that this delay may harm the individual in terms of the task performance or even just how the individual feels about the task or him or herself. Procrastination is a needless voluntary delay. Procrastination, in contrast to other forms of delay, is that voluntary and quite deliberate turning away from an intended action, even when we know we could act on our intention right now. There is nothing preventing us from acting in a timely manner except our own reluctance to act. This is the puzzling aspect of procrastination. Why are we reluctant to act? Why is it we become our own worst enemy? We undermine our goal needlessly. Why? How can we solve this procrastination puzzle? To understand the procrastination puzzle, that voluntary but needless delay in our lives that undermines our goal pursuit, we need to understand this reluctance to act when it is in our best interest to act. We also need to have strategies to overcome this reluctance. End quote. Why do we fail to act when it is in our best interest to act? Answering that puzzling question is, of course, what the book is all about. Now, let's take a quick look at some practical strategies to rock it. Next big idea, motivation doesn't need to be there. Quote, the problem is pretty obvious, as is the solution. Let go of the misconception that our motivational state must match the task at hand. In fact, social psychologists have demonstrated that attitudes follow behaviors more than, or at least as much as, behaviors follow attitudes. When you start to act on your intention as intended, you will see your attitude and motivation change. End quote. I love that. We talk about this a lot for a very simple reason. Great teachers come back to it again and again. It's time to let go of the misconceptions that our motivational state must match the task at hand. Remember that you don't need to feel like doing it to do it. And research shows that our attitude follows our behavior way more than we think. So just get started. P.S. One of the greatest pitfalls of procrastination Timothy comes back to throughout the book is our desire to feel good right this moment. Because of this, we avoid the pain we feel in anticipation of doing our work and distract ourselves with something that immediately gratifies. Time to stop doing that and just get started, knowing that we'll actually feel much better than we think. Next big idea, implementation intentions, if, then, plus, predecisions. Quote, in short, implementation intentions are a powerful tool to move from a goal intention to an action. As I have outlined in earlier chapters, these implementation intentions take the form of if-then statements. The if part of the statement sets out some stimulus for action. The then portion describes the action itself. The issue here really is one of pre-decision. We are trying to delegate the control over the initiation of our behavior to a specified situation without requiring conscious decision. If I say to myself things like, I'll feel more like doing this later, or I don't feel like doing this now, then I will just get started on some aspect of the task, end quote. That is awesome. We need to have clear implementation intentions and pre-commit ourselves to a desired course of action. We need to pre-decide. It's all about if, then. If you say to yourself, I don't really feel like doing this right now, then you just get started. If you say to yourself, I think I'll check my email or Facebook or Twitter or whatever and do this later, then you just get started. If you say to yourself, insert whatever it is you say to yourself when you start procrastinating, then you just get started. Get the idea? Let's get specific. What do you tend to say to yourself? Let's take a moment and reflect on it. In the PDF, I've got some space to write it down. Press pause. Think about it. I say stuff like this when I'm about to procrastinate. What do you say? And I also say stuff like this. All right, fantastic. So if you say that, then what? Exactly. You'll just get started. Hashtag procrastination be gone. Next big idea, just get started versus just do it. Quote, notice we are not using the famous Nike slogan of just do it. It's about just getting started. The doing it will take care of itself once we get going. If we think about just doing it, we risk getting overwhelmed with all there is to do. If we just take a first step, that is much easier. As a strategy, you may find that you have to just get started many times throughout the day, even on the same task. This is common. Even in meditation, we have to gently bring our attention back to our focal point, whatever that may be, e.g. our breath, a mantra. The thing to remember is that just getting started may happen many times in a day. End quote. No need to stress yourself out with the prospect of finishing something. Rather than just do it, try just get started. And remember that we may need to just get started many times on any project and throughout any given day. If we find our attention wandering in meditation, then we bring it back to our anchor. If we find our attention wandering during our work day, then we bring it back to what needs to get started on again. Again and again. As many times as it takes. No big deal. Just get started. Next big idea, it will only take a minute. Quote, it will only take a minute puts me on a slippery slope towards procrastination. It's approaching midnight, and Ari still hasn't started to work on his report, even though he sat down at his computer at 7 p.m. When he got to his desk earlier that evening, his intention had been to get to work, but he thought, I'll just update my Facebook status. It will only take a minute. Now, hours later, he's still there. End quote. It will only take a minute. Yeah, right. You hop in to check your email, and a few hours later, you realize your day is gone, and you didn't do what you planned to do. Ha, and dope. How many times have you experienced that? Timothy shares this hilarious anonymous comment to one of his blog posts that perfectly captures the trap that is the one-minute internet. One of his blog readers said, I'm procrastinating. That's why I'm here. I just Google things I'm thinking about like this, or like I hear someone hum a familiar tune, so I look up the song to know who sang it. I mean, that literally takes a minute. But then that makes me Google a couple other things, and then it ends up lasting a lot more than a few minutes. And I honestly don't realize when I end up reading the Wikipedia page of some random disease that some singer had that was related to the singer I was looking up. Wait, why was I looking him up? Oh, right, because someone at my school was humming a song by him. Oh, right, school. Essay due tomorrow. I haven't started. Like right now, I just realized I'm commenting on an article. I wish I could read those articles about my essay and try to get 2,000 words on paper in a day. Yeah, let's not do that. I think it's time to create a new Getting Stuff Done 101 productivity rule. I've got a link to that class, by the way. If you haven't checked it out yet, check it out. We have the 2-minute rule in Roy Baumeister's words. See the notes on willpower. He told us the 2-minute rule. If something will take less than 2 minutes, don't put it on a list. Get it out of the way immediately. Now we need the 1-minute rule. If you're working on something and feel called to complete something that will only take a minute, then you will ignore it and continue rocking whatever you're working on. Yeah? Awesome. P.S. In my recent interview with Tim Sanders, see the notes on Today We Are Rich, he went off on what he called clickbait, the ridiculously enticing links peppering the internet with one purpose: say whatever it takes to get you to click. Warning, very smart people are spending a ton of time and money to try to grab your attention and destroy it in the process. Random web surfing is hazardous to your health. Next big idea, multitasking is a myth. Quote, on top of all of this is the myth of multitasking. I say myth because despite popular beliefs, research indicates that only a very small percentage of people can actually multitask effectively. Humans have a very limited attentional channel. We are better off focused on one thing at a time. Tragic traffic accidents are only one example of how potentially dangerous the myth of multitasking can be, as texting drivers lose their focus on the road. The more mundane tragedy of multitasking is how we deceive ourselves into thinking that we are actually doing our work when in fact we are attending sporadically to our tasks in between email, social networking updates, internet searches, e-commerce, and gaming. End quote. Multitasking is a myth. Barbara Oakley echoes this wisdom in A Mind for Numbers, one of the recent notes we featured. Here's how she puts it, quote, multitasking is like constantly pulling up a plant. This kind of constant shifting of your attention means that new ideas and concepts have no chance to take root and flourish. In The One Thing, see those notes, Gary Keller puts it directly. He tells us multitasking doesn't save time, it wastes time. So let's focus. P.S. Did you know simply talking on your phone while driving leads to a 4-fold increase in accidents? And get this, according to the Virginia Tech Transportation Institute, texting while driving is 6 times more likely to cause an auto crash than driving when intoxicated. That's nuts. So put your phone away. You don't need to be texting while you're driving. P.P.S. This applies to not only our creative and professional work, but also to our personal lives. The greatest gift we can give our loved ones is our full attention. Turn off your smartphones and be present. Check out Relationships 101 in a micro class I have on how to make airplane mode your friend. I have links to that in the PDF. Next big idea, disconnect to connect. Quote, minimizing distractions is an important part of curbing our online procrastination. To stay really connected to our goal pursuit, we need to disconnect from potential distractions like social networking tools. This means that we should not have Facebook, Twitter, email, or whatever your favorite suite of tools is running in the background on your computer or smartphone while you are working. Shut them off. Ouch. I know, it is really tempting to find some excuse to keep it as business as usual approach here, but if you are committed to reducing your procrastination, this is something you really need to do. You must shut off everything except the program you need to do, the task at hand. This means you can plan your e-breaks more consciously. Again, this is an example of pre-decisions that help us break unconscious habits. Procrastination is certainly a habit for many of us. End quote. Pre-decisions. Another word for that is pre-commitment. We explore the idea in some of our notes on the science of willpower. Let's take another look. Here's how Baumeister puts it in Willpower. He says, the essence of this strategy is to lock yourself into a virtuous path. You recognize that you'll face terrible temptations to stray from the path and that your willpower will weaken. So you make it impossible or somehow unthinkably disgraceful or sinful to leave the path. Pre-commitment is what Odysseus and his men used to get past the deadly songs of the sirens. He had himself lashed to the mast with orders not to be untied no matter how much he pleaded to be freed to go to the sirens. His men used a different form of pre-commitment by plugging their ears so they couldn't hear the sirens' songs. They prevented themselves from being tempted at all, which is generally the safer of the two approaches. If you want to be sure you don't gamble at a casino, you're better off staying out of it, rather than strolling past the tables and counting on your friends to stop you from placing a bet. Better yet is to put your name on the list of people, maintained by casinos in some states, who are not allowed to collect any money if they place winning bets, end quote. So the more we decide in advance what we want to do and set up the conditions to make that outcome more likely, the more we increase the odds of having our behavior match our intention. Turn off the unnecessary programs. If you don't need the internet on, turn off your Wi-Fi. Force yourself to take an extra step to break your pre-commitment. And get rid of your procrastination in the process. In short, disconnect to connect to your highest self and your most important goals. That brings us to the next and final big idea. Expect to tumble and be nice to yourself when you do. Quote, "This self-change process is uneven. We truly do feel like one day we leap ahead and the next day we fall back. Although we have to be committed to change and firm in our efforts to be strategic, we also have to be kind to ourselves during this challenging process. We all face setbacks, disappointing moments, and frustrations with our apparent lack of progress. Your attitude toward these setbacks in yourself will be extremely important to your continued progress. Be kind, but firm with yourself, and be willing to forgive yourself when you do not live up to your own expectations." One of our recent studies was about this issue of self-forgiveness and procrastination. It has important implications for each of us as we take the self-change journey. What we found was that self-forgiveness for procrastination was related to less procrastination in the future, end quote. So, know! That you will face setbacks. That's part of the process for everyone. As George Leonard tells us in Mastery, see those notes, sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back. And sometimes it's two steps back and one step forward. That's the path of mastery. How you communicate with yourself when, not if, but when you fall short of your goals is going to determine how quickly and gracefully you master this part of your life. Perhaps paradoxically for you, the nicer you are to yourself, the more quickly you'll learn. Here's to holding high standards and high levels of self-compassion as we put the final pieces to the procrastination puzzle together. There you go. Solving the procrastination puzzle. Hope you enjoyed. If you did, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on the now habit, willpower, the willpower habit, how to be an imperfectionist, the power of habit, mastery, and self-compassion. We have links to all those in the PDF. And now, let's enjoy some quotes from the sidebar. These are all from Timothy Pischel, who tells us, "This book provides a concise summary of key strategies to reduce procrastination in your life." It is, in fact, rather concise. It's 123 pages, super quick and easy reading. I think you'll dig it. He also tells us the Latin roots of the word procrastination mean to put forward to tomorrow. Isn't that cool? Procrastination, to put forward to tomorrow. Remember that next time you try to do that. He also says, when we procrastinate on our goals, we are basically putting off our lives. He tells us, if I say something to myself like, oh, I'll feel more like doing this tomorrow, I will catch myself in this self-deception and add, then I will just get started on the task instead. It works. You'd be surprised. Timothy tells us, procrastination is a form of self-regulation failure. We fail to regulate our behavior to achieve our own goals. We make an intention to act, but we do not use the self-control necessary to act when intended. Everyone procrastinates. I believe this, and research has documented this in a number of different ways. Timothy tells us, willpower is a limited resource that I need to use strategically. One of the best ways to do that is to make these pre-decisions or pre-commitments we've been talking about. He also tells us a strong goal intention, an intention for which you have a very strong commitment, is absolutely essential. As is commonly said, where there's a will, there's a way. And finally, once we start a task, it is rarely as bad as we think. Our research shows us that getting started changes our perception of a task. It can also change our perception of ourselves in important ways. There you go, solving the procrastination puzzle. The biggest idea here is just get started. Just get started. You don't need to get it done. Just get it started. Watch the momentum build and have fun. Hope you enjoyed. Look forward to sharing more. Have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.